How are you doing? I'm very excited to be here this morning, so let's just start with a bit of a prayer. Father, may the words that I speak reflect your written word and reveal to us your living word, Jesus Christ. Amen. So there was a pastor and he had a kitten. And this little kitten got stuck up a tree and wouldn't come down. And the problem was that the tree wasn't really strong enough for the pastor to climb to get the kitten down. So he thought, if I tie a rope to the tree and to the bumper of my car, and then I can drive my car forward a little bit, pull the tree down, then I can reach up and get the kitten. So this is what the pastor did. Unfortunately, the tree was stronger than the rope. And so as he drove, the rope snapped and the kitten went flying through the air. And he was like, oh no. So he was so upset. So he searched the neighborhood, knocked on doors, said, have you seen my kitten? Have you seen a kitten? Nobody had. So finally he committed the kitten to the Lord's care in prayer and went about his business. A couple of days later, he was in the supermarket and there was a lady who was from his church and she was buying cat food. Now this lady was known to absolutely detest cats. And so he said, I see you're buying some cat food, but you don't really like cats, do you? She said, no. She said, but you will not believe this, Pastor. She said, my little girl has been pestering me for a cat. And of course, I don't like cats, so I have been saying no. So eventually, she got so desperate that I said, if God gives you a cat, I will let you keep that cat. She said, you will not believe this, but I saw it with my own eyes. She said, my little girl, she walked out into the garden, she got down on her knees, and she prayed, God, I really want a cat. Please give me a cat. And this little kitten came flying through the air, paws outstretched, straight and landed straight in front of her. Well, if God gave her a cat, I couldn't possibly not let her keep it, could I? So, we have a God who answers our prayers. And today, I want to try and unravel prayer a bit for us as part of our series on whole life worship. And you may well be thinking, or you may be thinking, well, what has prayer got to do with whole life worship? But you know, in our Bible reading, Jesus taught his disciples what we call the Lord's Prayer. And when we start that prayer, when we say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, we are worshiping God. We are giving glory to God for who he is. And then if you looked at Luke 2, in Luke 2, we meet Anna. And Anna was a widow. And it tells us that she never left the temple, but worshipped God night and day, fasting and praying. And Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And finally, prayer opens our eyes to the things that are important to God. Through prayer, the lost and the hurting are revealed to us. And James 1:27 talks about true worship being looking after widows and orphans. So prayer is worship because we see those that are hurting, we see those that are distressed, and we are able to bring them and care for them and help them. So prayer is worship. And just as worship, as we are learning, is a whole life thing, not just a Sunday morning thing, so too prayer should be a lifestyle thing and not just a prayer meeting thing. Now prayer, for me, is, I'm going to have a go at this, a bit like a yo-yo. Okay, so a couple of years ago, my son Dan really got into yo-yos. And he practiced and practiced and practiced. And he was really, really, really good. He could do all sorts of tricks. He could keep this thing going for hours. I, on the other hand, am not quite so good at it. And prayer, to me, is a bit like this yo-yo. You see, this yo-yo is attached to the end, and it's attached to me. And it has this string. And if the yo-yo wasn't attached to the string, it would go flying off and I would lose it. And prayer, to me, is a bit like this string. It's the thing that keeps me attached to God. If I didn't pray, then I would lose sight of God and who he is. And there's a couple of other ways I think this is similar. Because I think if I practiced my yo-yoing more, I'd be a lot better at it. And if I prayed more, I'd be a lot better at that too. So I think I did a search, and Amazon gives us 125,958 book offerings on the subject of prayer. So clearly, it's an area that lots of people, like me, feel that they might need a bit of help with. And I suspect if I asked you and you were completely honest, you would probably say, I don't think I'm very good at prayer either. I'm not going to ask. You don't have to put your hands up. It's okay. Even the disciples struggled. In our reading, they said, teach us how to pray. They weren't sure. And yet prayer is a key fundamental to our Christian life. It's this string that keeps us attached to God. And Jesus doesn't say if we pray. He says when we pray. And he demonstrated a life of prayer. He went off on his own to quiet places to pray. He prayed for people. The Lord's Prayer itself is a model of the kinds of things that we should pray for. So why, in that case, do we find it so hard? Why is it that prayer is something that we struggle with? Well, ultimately, I believe it's because we are in a battle. And it's a battle that the enemy, that Satan, doesn't want us to win. Because as we heard at the beginning, as Sarju read out that poem, the devil doesn't want us to pray because he knows that prayer changes things. And he will thwart all of our efforts to get into prayer. I don't know if any of you have read C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, but they are an amazing bunch of letters from a senior devil to a trainee devil. And letter 4 is all about preventing humans from praying. And the senior devil, he says, the best thing, where it is possible, is to keep the patient from serious intention of praying altogether. He doesn't want us to pray. But prayer is so important. And as I said, it changes things. I heard an amazing story about the Berlin Wall. And I don't know, lots of you will be old enough to remember the Berlin Wall and it coming down. Those of you that are under 30 probably won't. But there was a lady, and I don't know, I think she was in West Berlin, was a grandma, and she went to stay with her family, and she was spending a lot of time in her room praying. And they had, and she kept coming down, turning the television on, and then going back to her room and praying. And eventually, she came downstairs, turned the television on, and the news was breaking that the Berlin Wall, was coming down. And she said, "Yes, thank you, Lord." And basically, a group of old ladies had agreed that they would pray and they would fast until the Berlin Wall came down. And I just, to me, that speaks of the power of prayer and the amazing God that we have. But so often we misunderstand what prayer is, or we have bad experiences about praying. Three key misunderstandings that I think we have is prayer is boring, the prayer is hard, and that there are rules that we of how we should pray, and we need to learn those rules and we need to stick to them. But I don't think that that's the case at all. So often, the first experience we have of prayer is at school. And we're in assembly, and we're told to sit still, close our eyes, put our hands together, and we pray. And I don't know, I remember at school thinking, and I wanted to fidget, and I wanted to do things, and I wanted to open my eyes and see what other people were doing. But you're not allowed. You have to hold your hands together and keep your eyes shut. Or, when I first became a Christian, and the prayers that happened up the front, and people would come up, and they would pray these amazing prayers with this incredible language. And then there was a format sometimes, and then there were responses. And I thought, I can't do that. I don't get that. I don't understand that. Now, some people pray like that, and that is fine, and that is good. But not all of us do. Rachel Hickson, in her book on prayer, says that we need to find our own prayer language. Many of you here will use some of these ways of communicating. We have so many options these days. We can text, we can telephone, we can Skype, we can email, we can Facebook and Messenger. We can even write letters. And each of you here will have a preference as to how you communicate. Just quickie, who prefers to use their mobile phone for a telephone call? Put your hands up. Who prefers to type, to text? Definite age thing going on there. Okay. How many of you actually prefer to write letters? Yes. Fabulous. So, we all have different ways that we prefer to communicate. And prayer is just communication with God. Can you imagine having a best friend and never communicating with them? What sort of a friendship would you have? They probably wouldn't be your best friend for very long. Prayer doesn't have to be eyes closed, hands together. It doesn't have to be sitting round in a circle, all taking turns to pray. It doesn't even have to be a conscious vocalization of what we want to pray about. In Romans 8, it tells us that when we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf. He interprets our groanings and takes them to God. I think one of the successes of the 24/7 prayer movement is the fact that they provide for different expressions of prayer. There is a desire in us to pray. There's a desire in us to meet with God. There's a desire in us to communicate. But we are creative, and there is a desire to pray in a creative way. There's a fabulous 24/7 prayer story about some teenage girls, and they didn't know, well, they just met God, and they came into a 24/7 prayer room, but they didn't really know how to pray. So they stuck ABBA on the CD, and they danced to ABBA, and they cried praises to God while they were doing it. I just love that image. And I love ABBA, so that would be good. My friend literally posted on Friday about a quote from Pete Grieg, who set up and runs 24/7 prayer. And he says, I meet so many people who struggle with prayer simply because they are trying, usually quite heroically, to copy a style or a system that belongs to another person or another time in their own development. In prayer, more than any other area of life, the adventure begins when we stop imitating and start innovating. Haltingly at first, we venture to develop a language, a familiarity, a fluency, particular to our own unique circumstance and psychology. Pray the way God made you to. So a bit later on, you'll have noticed as you come in, there are some tables around the room. And when I finish, we're going to have a response time. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to commit to adding a bit more prayer into your life. And then I'm going to give you an option to come up and to check out some of the prayer stations and to give a different kind of praying a go. Okay, they're left over from the prayer night, last Sunday night. I asked if they could be left there, and we've added a few as well. So that's for later on, but I just want to get it in your heads now. It's important to remember, too, that there are seasons. Just as we all have different ways of communicating, we all have different seasons in our life. And our prayer life will change, too. There'll be times when we can spend a lot of time praying. Think about Anna. She was a widow. She could spend her life in the temple. If she'd had a family, she probably wouldn't have been able to do that. Susanna Wesley, it is reported, she had 19 children and 10 of them survived or something ridiculous like that. But she was a very, very busy lady. And two of her children, John and Charles, you will know about. She taught them to pray. But when she wanted to pray, she would put her apron over her head to pray. And when she did, her children knew not to disturb her. But I'm pretty sure she didn't get very long with an apron over her head before they needed to talk. So different seasons, different styles, different amounts. And the other thing is that communication is a two-way process. Just as if we don't talk to our best friend, we're not going to build a very good relationship. So if we don't listen to our best friend, we are not going to build a good relationship either. Imagine if your friend never listened to you and only ever told you what they were doing. So we need to build time in our prayer to listen to God. We need time for silence. It's okay to be silent and pray. It's okay to be listening. It's okay to be reflective in what we're doing so that we have time to get to hear God's voice. Because the more time you spend with somebody listening, the better you know them. Quite often I know, for example, what my husband is going to say before he even says it. And sometimes if he doesn't, I tell him what he needs to say. So, how can we develop our prayer as a lifestyle rather than just something difficult to do? I wonder if any of you know who this is a depiction of. It's not a very good one. They didn't have cameras or paint. I don't think they have paintings then. Thank you so much. I knew I could rely on you, Rachel. Yes, this is a depiction of a 17th century Carmelite monk called Nicholas Hermann, better known as Brother Lawrence. And I have to say he's been one of the biggest influences on my life of prayer. His writings are found in a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. He spent most of his life in a kitchen, cooking and cleaning for other monks. But he came to see God in everything. He came to communicate with God all of the time. And he did every task for the love of God. It was not an easy thing. If you read, or I actually have an audio book of his writings, you see that actually this took a lot of time and a lot of effort to do this, constantly practicing coming into the presence of God. But this idea of God as a constant companion, always there to communicate, pray with, is one that I find particularly helpful, because it means that I can talk to God always. I don't have to have a set amount of time. I can, if I see an accident, I can invite God into that. If I'm struggling with something, I can invite God into that constantly. It opens my eyes to a different reality of the world. Prayer becomes part of something I am and not something I do. And this should be our goal, to develop our prayer lives so that it becomes part of us. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Enoch, we read in the Old Testament, he walked with God, constant companion to God. For Anna, prayer was her life. And Brother Lawrence saw God in everything. Now, sometimes we get it all sorted. We think we've got it all sorted, don't we? And it's going great, and I've got my hours Bible study in the morning sorted, and I'm praying, and I'm doing all these things, and it was all going so great. And then I mess up again, and I realize I'm not getting up at 6 o'clock to do my hours Bible study. I've forgotten that God is in everything. But you know, we have such a gracious God. And just like this yo-yo that I really messed up on that time, I can stop, I can wind the string up eventually, and I can start again. So it is with prayer. If we get to a point where we realize that we are not praying, that God is not first and foremost our companion, then we can stop, we can wind the string that is prayer, and we can start all over again. So, this morning, I want to give you some suggestions, and I'm sure that you will have some of your own, as to how we can incorporate more prayer into our life and as our lifestyle. I quite often prayer run. You could prayer walk, but when I'm running, I like to pray. Or how about turning off the radio in your car on the way to work in the morning and spending that time with God? If you've got a dog, walk the dog and pray. That's a really good time, I find, in the morning. And praying for other dog users, dog walkers even. Okay. How about committing to spending half hour of your lunch twice a week when you're at work to God? Or commit to join one of the prayer meetings at church on a regular basis. Or when you're washing up or loading the dishwasher, you can pray for the people that ate off those plates, or pray for the world around you. I'm sure that there are lots of other things that you can think of that might help to incorporate prayer. So what I want you to do now, and hopefully in front of you, you will find two post-it notes. Ben, could you get the thing for me? Two post-it notes. Okay, the reason you have two post-it notes is because I want you to think about how maybe you could incorporate a little bit more prayer into your life. And for some of you, it will mean thinking about rewinding that string that is God. Some of you have got it sussed at the moment, and that's good, and you can write one of those sussed bits down. But I want you to do it on both post-it notes. And then what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to get up out of your seat and bring one of those post-it notes and stick it on our notice board of Whole Life Worship. The other post-it note is for you to keep to remind you of your commitment. And then once you're up out of your seat, you can, if you choose, go back and sit and do some reflective prayer. And I'm hoping that the worship band are going to come up and they're going to sing over us while we do this. But what I'd really like you to do is to go to one of the prayer stations and to actively engage in a physical, creative act of prayer. And there are some options. There's lighting a candle to pray. There's sticking a post-it on an area of the world and praying over that. There's some praise and worship there. There are some stones over there. You need to read the thing for that. And then there is some reflective colouring in over here. Okay? If you'd quite like the prayer team to pray with you, then the prayer ministry team are going to be available here, here, and at the back. And we're going to do all of this in 10 minutes. Okay? So have a think about how you're going to commit some prayer. Bring your post-it note up. Choose what you'd like to do. And then I'll bring us all back together in 10 minutes. So if you would like to, if you're not deep in prayer, if you'd like to start making your way back to your seat, and we are going to continue our service. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move into a time of communion. So, Father, just as Jesus was a model of prayer for us, help us to follow his example in private prayer, in prayer with and for others. We commit our prayer promises to you and ask that in the power of your Holy Spirit, you enable us to become people of prayer, that prayer becomes our lifestyle and not an effort. Amen.